Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me as we talk a little bit about Know Thyself, okay? It's going to be a fun, hopefully, program for you. I want to thank you for listening. I want to remind you that you're listening to these radio programs as well as watching my TV offerings. Due to the fact of the nature of the generosity of my sponsors, it is only through their loving kindness that we are able to continue making these radio programs and TV programs. So if you are finding anything deeply helpful here, you know, you're listening to the radio program and you find it helpful, I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us. We're doing everything we can to, of course, as you know, to keep our programs on the air, and they are contingent upon your loving support. Your tax-deductible gifts make it all possible, and if you have any questions about it and you are interested in your ability to support and help us on a monthly or quarterly basis, go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And when you get there, you will see support. If you pull that little menu down, you'll see a submenu that says why support Aspire, and it'll give you all the information you need to know, and hopefully you'll come and help us. Our efforts are to serve humankind and not to build religion or philosophies or lots of people. I'm not here to gather the masses. I'm here to serve those of you who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Let's talk about this idea of Know Thyself. I did a series, A Life Worth Living, many years ago. And if you go to the website and take a look at media, you will see the TV programs, A Life Worth Living. They're worth watching. Believe me, they are. And I hope many of you will. But I get a lot of these questions about self and all of that. And a lot of the questions you're going to hear today came from people who went and watched those TV programs on the website at aspire.org and enjoyed them or had questions about them. So here we go. Okay. Greg, how does one really know themselves? I mean, really know themselves. And this is from Jack in Los Angeles. Jack, there is no way for you or for me to, in the traditional sense, know thyself. Even though Socrates said it, I know what he meant. Words do not really convey the full meaning and power of any real deep teachings. You are not something to know. You are an experience to have, not to know. And if you've had the experience of what you are, who you are, the way you are, and taking out the you, then you know yourself. It is not something you can conjure up in your brain because you are infinite. The you of you, the authentic part of you, is infinite. And if you can understand that, if you can appreciate that sense of how infinite you are, you won't need to have any conjecture about what it means to know your personality and know what you're capable of and know what you're not capable of and all of that. It just is not necessary. But when you start to understand that this idea of having a self is outmoded, that this self you have right now that is probably listening to my answer here is a psychological self. It is a self that believes that you have this capacity and that capacity, and you are a thissa and a thatta. And the more a thissa and a thatta you believe yourself to be, the more difficult your life will become. I am here to help you understand that it's not necessary to have a self. Actually, you're a no self, and I'm a no self. And if you look very deep inside, past your psychology, past the emotionality, past the fears, the genetic fears, the human fears, the sapien mentality that we have, the pedestrian mentality, if you can get beyond liking and disliking, wanting and not wanting, if you can go beyond it all, just for a moment, you will have that divine thing. That divine thing is the realization of what you truly are, how beautiful you truly are. And you will never need to go back and think in terms of who you are as a person, as a right or wrong person, a good or a bad person. You will never judge the self because you won't need to. The experience of what you are is far greater than the ideas and ideals you may have of what you may be or are. This is hard for people to really think about. They can't really understand it, so they compensate for this by going out into the world and trying to get and achieve things that will give them a sense of their capacity as a human being. And that's about as far as most of us go. And we look for mates and partners to help us along with all of this because everyone in our life has to be helpful. We live very utilitarian lives where everybody has to be giving us something that helps us towards the goal we want to achieve. And we see nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, it is one of the most selfish and ugly parts of the way we live. And I am not here to tell you, you know, you are evil and bad because you do this, but it is contrary to the nature of finding out who you are. You know, there are many things to achieve in this world, and they will all be taken away from you through death. All the hard work and everything you're doing right now will be taken away through death. The thing that is most important about your living is what you are able to realize about what you are, not necessarily who you are. If you discover the what of you, you will come to a very interesting place in your life. Goodness will exceed anything you've ever known before because the goodness of your nature, the beauty of your nature, exceeds the beliefs you might have about what is good and what is beautiful. It is such a magnificent thing. And I have had it, other people have had it, and if I can do it, believe me, anyone can do it. It takes some discipline. It takes some, horsepower to do it. But it can be done. And once you find out how beautiful you are, you'll never go back to that part of you that thinks you're not. You'll never go back to that part of you that thinks you're lesser than. You are an amazing, amazing state of being. And if I only limit myself to the idea of what I can understand in my biological sense, in my psychological sense, I will miss the whole thing. I will miss everything that is meaningful. I will miss everything that is substantial about my life. I will never know. It is the worst way to live, in my opinion. To live without the experience of yourself here and there in this lifetime. It is about dropping my ideas and my ideals. You ask me, Jack, how does one really know themselves, really? If you know yourself based on what you believe in about yourself, a preconceived notion of you, you will never know. But if you are willing to have an experience that exceeds the one you are having right now with yourself, one where there is a sense of mercy and compassion, you will know everything that is profound. You the you of you, the authentic, nameless you, is a profound experience that exceeds thought. And that's just the way it is. You exceed all thought. Just something for you to think about. I hope that helped you. Please forgive me, Jack. Namaste. The next question comes from Gail, and she lives, she says, in the Midwest. At times I know myself, and it seems that other times I do not. How can I know what is true about myself? The ones that I think I know, the ones that I don't know. Gail, your emotions have made this very complicated. And it doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to be that difficult. All you need to do is become aware, dropping the mind. The truest part of us, the part of us that is most beautiful, most important, most spacious, is the part of us that we cannot think. You are unthinkable. You are attainable only through not thinking. So if you've ever been lost in art, any art, if you've ever been lost in compassion or love, you have such a great love for maybe something or someone, and you start to lose yourself, your ego, your hubris. When you start losing all of this, you are there. You are in that place, that gap, that pause, that space between your thoughts. This is why meditation is so important. This is why I offer retreats for people to retreat from their thinking, retreat from their believing, retreat, and start utilizing energies that bring about a different way of living. We live as a compensation to our psychology, to our ignorance. That's what we live as, a pure compensation. We miss it all. And we don't mind missing it as long as we're entertained and amused or feel like we're making some kind of progress in something that makes our bodies and our minds feel comforted. We really don't mind losing ourselves. When Socrates said, "To thine own self be true," he was right. To be true to what, though? What is this self that we need to be true to? It is the part of us that is a non-self. And not something that is made up in our minds, but something that is more than a compensation. It is a completion. It is the way in which we live to complete our life and bring about insight into our living. It is very, very important. Few attain to it, very few. But if you do, if you attain to this through love and compassion, through consciousness, through deep inner work, transformational work, you begin to find everything clicks. And rather than fighting against nature, fighting against the circumstances, you will flow with some energy that lives within you that supersedes what you have ever experienced before. That energy is the authentic part of your makeup. It is the essence of the essential in you. And once it is achieved, once it is experienced, even once, your life goes on fire. You feel the beauty of it, the momentum of it. No more are we caught in the ineptness of our inertia to do things that are self-destructive. We start to feel that beauty inside. And all of a sudden, everything seems to click. No, I'm not talking about just in the outer world. I mean within us. We start to have an ebb, a flow to our life that we didn't have before. And now, instead of me just living for what I want and what I believe in, I can live for that which exists as love itself, as beauty itself. And now I can do those things that make love possible. I will realize that in my giving and my forgiving, I accentuate the authentic in me. Gail, don't get caught up in the minutiae of your thoughts. You get caught up in that, you're going to lose your entire life. Everything will be lost, and nothing can be self-realized. Nothing. You get caught up in this idea or that idea. Ideas are traps. They're very dangerous traps because you can get caught in them so quickly that you start to believe that they are the only way. Don't do that. Get the whole picture. When you're in no mind, when through meditation you've come to that sacred place where you are without thought, you will see the bigger picture. This seeing is not with eyes or a mind. It's a no-mind experience. It is the ability to capture the peripheral, to bring it into the oneness. You will start to see another mind is born in you. This mind is awareness. This mind is aware of everything, and it does not need thought. Thoughts are merely distractions. Thoughts merely take me away from that which is authentic and real. And when I am caught up in my thoughts, I am missing what is essential and what is that which is most important in my life. In doing this, I remove myself from the process of awakening. Spiritual awakening is a process. You can't do it abstractly. You can't be doing it on the sly, on circumstances where you feel comfortable in. You can't do it on the side of your life. It can't be a side path to your side pathing. It can't be any of that. It has to be primo. It has to be the most important thing you do. And if that is not recognized as the most important thing you do, then you miss. You miss everything that is love. You miss everything that is kindness. You miss everything that is important. You miss. And in that missing, oh, so much is lost. A whole lifetime and many lifetimes. Devotion, compassion, mercy. The ability to feel that which the human instincts just can't understand or don't want to understand, that is the way. And if you can do that, which you can, through the practice of meditation, inner work, and it takes a devotion to it, you're going to have a teacher. You can't do it without one. Everybody'd like to believe they can't because they don't want to pay for it or they don't want to have someone tell them what to do. Unless you have a competent teacher who has been there, is there, or, you know, understands the whole process, well, they have to be there to understand that. You won't make it because there are always going to be corrections that need to be made. Little corrections here, big corrections there. And you're going to have to do many things that the ego, the pride, the hubris doesn't want to do. And you're going to need to talk that over. So there you are. You're going to have to find someone to help you, Gail. It's very, very important. What is true about us is a very nebulous thing because the ego gets involved. And it seems so right, the ego. People are devoted more to their hubris than they are their heart. And because they don't know their heart and don't really care to know it, they can't open up to it. They can't cathart. They can't do any of that. They miss the entire life experience. And people just shrug their shoulders and say, oh, well, maybe in another. But it gets harder and harder and harder. Maybe another. Buddha said there are two things that are the biggest mistakes we can make. One is not entering into an authentic spiritual practice, and the other is to quit. Both really leave us hanging in the dreads of our humanity. I hope that helps you, Gail. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Harrison in San Francisco. He just merely asked, Greg, I saw your programs on Socrates. So what is a self? I wanted to end on this note. If you are looking for a self that you can think, then you don't have a self. You haven't discovered it yet. And if you have a self that is impulsive and you don't think from it, it just comes out, you have the other side of that coin. It's still impulsive, and it's still not the self. As I said in the first question to Jack, there is no self as we think of it. You are that which is everywhere and nowhere, all at the same time. You are that which is magnificent. There are no words to describe the essence of the beauty that exists within you and around you. There is just no way. But I am telling you, it does exist. And it will do many wonderful things if you start to look at it from the point of view of your goodness. So, here's how you begin. You begin by meditation. You begin by letting go of your thoughts and pulling back into third person. To do this, you must let go of your emotionality. You must let go of the pride you have about the thoughts you have about any given thing or any thought you may have about yourself. You, the word you, is a concept, not a reality. It is a concept that just simply exists because I made it up, you made it up. Just watch. Spend time just watching. Watch your thoughts. Watch the you've created. Just watch. You don't have to do a single thing about it. Just watch. This is Vipassana meditation. And if you add some of the tones that I am giving to you in my meditations, my Tibetan pulsing, you will find that those tones resonate beyond thought. And you can quickly remember who you are. This remembering is not about like I forgot my keys to the car. This remembering has always been there. It just hasn't been allowed. It hasn't been allowed to manifest. It hasn't been allowed to occupy you. Because thoughts push it away and say, well, no, 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 you're this. No, 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 you're that. No, no, you did this, so therefore you're a that. It doesn't work like that. If you get quiet, just still, and watch, and watch, and watch, eventually you will realize exactly what I am saying to you. And if you start to resonate to tone, and you start to vibrate to it inwardly, you will find your thoughts cannot occupy you. They will crumble. And you will be left with the direct experience. And that is what it's all about, to have the direct experience. When you have that, you have changed more than the culture of your thinking. You have come to a place where thinking is no longer necessary. It's the direct experience, Harrison. It means everything. I hope that helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank Harrison and Gail and Jack for helping me. And I want you to consider the whole idea of maybe going to the website and watching these programs on Socrates. He was a very interesting and a very beautiful man. A life worth living. Go take a look. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.